Thank you, Jeff. Thank you, Alison, for reading God's word to us. I wonder what makes you sit up and listen. I wonder what it is that gives someone the authority to speak in such a way that you not only acknowledge what you're saying, but it affects you deeply and you actually do what they're asking of you. Is it their position or their title? Is it their stature, the way they present themselves? Is it because they wear a certain form of uniform? Or is it something else? I always remember the difference between my physics and my geography teacher. They were both of the same sex. They were both relatively short in stature. Both clearly knew their subject. And yet one could hold a class and the other one couldn't. In one lesson, it was always the same. It would descend into chaos as the usual troublemakers gained control of the situation. Whereas those same troublemakers in the other lesson seemed cowed. They even appeared to concentrate. And when they contributed to the lesson, they actually contributed something of value and not simply a comment trying to make trouble and disrupt the lesson. You know, I've always struggled to understand what was the difference. Why is that one held a class and had the authority to do that and the other one didn't? What is it that held a class by their voice, their words, and compelled us to take notice and listen? In this passage in Deuteronomy we read this morning, it depicts Moses' final words to the Israelites. He reminds them that as the land that they're going into is going to be very different than where they've been through, the people in that land act differently than them. They practice sorcery, an attempt to harness the power of evil spirits. They practice divination as an attempt to see into the future, to know what is happening, and to do that, they try and harness supernatural powers. And Moses says to the Israelites, it's not going to be like that with you. For with you, it's going to be different. I will raise up a prophet, someone you will hear a human voice speak my words, and you should listen to them. In fact, it gets a bit stronger than that, because if you go on to verse 19, there's a dire warning if you don't listen. Now, this marks the end of the way that God has been leading his people up to this point. Because from now on, the Israelites will no longer be guided by a pillar of fire by day and a pillar of cloud by night. No longer will the Lord speak directly to them. From now on, he'll speak indirectly. He will provide a human mouthpiece, a prophet. In a sense, he's already been doing this. Moses, since Mount Horeb, has been going into the presence of God and bringing God's word to the Israelites. But from this point on, it will be official. And when they travel into the promised land, it will be the prophet that speaks to them. The prophet that ensures that they fulfill their calling as God's people. And not just in a religious context, but also socially as well. Now, at this point, I need to take a little detour, because just reading these few verses of Deuteronomy, we don't get the full picture of the book. The book of Deuteronomy as a whole summarizes all the law that has gone before in Exodus, Leviticus, and Numbers. And it sets out the checks and balances that the people will have in place when they go into the promised land. It effectively sets out a dedication and a separation of powers. The law, the Torah, is supreme, which is not surprising, really, because it represents the word of God, the very words of God given to Moses, written down. And the Torah will be open to the people and administered by them. The king, or in the early days of the time in Israel, the judges, will be subject to the law. This is going to be completely different than other surrounding nations in the ancient Near East. Rather than rule supreme, judges or the king will be a servant of the people. They will be tasked with keeping the people safe, keeping their borders safe, and making sure that the nation functions in such a way as to receive God's blessing. And then the prophet, their role will be to keep both the king and the people accountable to God. Now, of course, you don't have to read too far into the Old Testament to realize that this quickly breaks down. Judges and kings become corrupted by their power. The people quickly stop listening to and reflecting on the Torah and start doing their own thing. And as for the prophets, they fall into two categories. They either tell the people what they want to hear, or they speak the word of the Lord faithfully and boldly and are either ignored, beaten up, or killed. And this is the bind. The bind is the people of God wanted someone to act as the Lord's mouthpiece. It was they who called for it. It was they who asked Moses to go and to listen to what the Lord was saying and bring it back so they might not be directly in the presence of God. You see it in Deuteronomy 5, 23 to 27. Now, there's been a long tradition of the prophet throughout the Bible. From Moses to John the Baptist, the prophet kept the people in line with God. Indeed, they kept the nation in check. And while Jesus, because of his divine nature, is God, he also speaks prophetically. And as we speak in his name, we're called to act as that prophet who speaks to keep God's people in line, keep the nation and our society in touch with our God. We have the words, the very words of God to take into our world. The prophetic role is still there. The Apostle Paul, writing to the church in Ephesus, says that Jesus gives prophets to strengthen his church, says in Ephesians 4:11. It raises the question, who are today's prophets? Who are the people who are spend the time in the presence of God and because of that address the problems of the world with the word of God? Is it church leaders? Is it parachurch and missionary organizations? Or is it ordinary church members? Or is it a mixture of all of those? Who among us has God given the authority to speak to the lives, our lives, and not just in times of crisis like now, but on a host of issues? Who will speak up against indigenous and institutionalized racism? Who will speak up against climate change? Who will speak for the refugee, the hungry, the homeless, the margins of our society? Who will speak for justice and mercy on a host of issues? Who is it will call the church back to the Lord? Indeed, call governments and nations to be accountable before God. God puts prophets among us so that we might hear his very word and be accountable to him. But there's something more here as well. Something else, and we see that in Mark's account. No sooner than Jesus has called his disciples to follow him, he goes into the synagogue in Capernaum, and there he's confronted with a man acting aggressively, and Mark describes it as a man who is possessed by an unclean spirit, who has an unclean spirit. Now, Mark uses this unclean spirit in a number of times. He uses the term 11 times, and it means something that is ungodly. He uses it often in conjunction and in similar amounts of times as he uses demon, the word demon. And as Jesus addresses the synagogue, as the people there are amazed by the words and the authority with which he speaks, they're even more amazed as he seems to have the power to address a spiritual realm. Because as he is confronted with this man, it's interesting when you look at this story. Because Mark describes him as a man, as an individual. And yet the words that come out of his mouth are plural. What do you want to do with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Notice it's what do you want with us, Jesus of Nazareth? Have you come to destroy us? And then it comes back to the singular. I know who you are. You're the Holy One of God. What do you want with us? Have you come to destroy us? Scholars suggest that these two statements, these two preceding questions, we find a suggestion that the Spirit already knows of what Jesus will do. And Jesus was addressing the singular because he's addressing the spiritual realm. And this becomes evident as Jesus quickly dispatches the Spirit with a single command. Jesus has the power and authority to speak to a dimension that we cannot see, a spiritual realm. Now, this story is clearly early in Mark's gospel, and he highlights this because he wants us to see it's important. The things Mark puts first in his gospel are leading up to the culmination. He wants us to see that the world that we live in is not just a physical world, not just that we can see and we can touch. There's a spiritual realm, a realm that is just as important, and for the most part we don't see. Jesus comes into the synagogue, it becomes clear that he not only speaks with authority in the physical realm, not only calls the physical realm of God to account, he brings the spiritual realm to account as well. And if, as followers of Jesus, we believe we are called to speak up about the flaws of our society, where we could do better, to call our society to account before God, then it means that we're going to have to address the spiritual realm as much as the physical realm. Because no sooner than we begin to speak into physical situations, as soon as we adopt the prophetic role of speaking God's word into real life situations, then we begin to also address a spiritual realm. We shouldn't be surprised by this. Paul, in his letter to Ephesus, says that our struggle is not just against flesh and blood, but also against the rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly realms. This is in Ephesians 6:12. So when we're called to speak prophetically, to speak God's word into situations, into our society, we find ourselves not just addressing the physicality, but also the spiritual. Now, I know some people get sort of quite edgy about that, so I wonder how you feel about that. I wonder how you feel about when we speak up for Jesus, when we address the issues we face within the church or within our society, when we speak with a prophetic voice. I wonder how you feel about addressing not just the physical, but also the spiritual realm. I guess in some ways we do it without thinking. Because every time we pray, "Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name," we follow it with, "Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven." And it's that that makes us different. There are lots and lots of good organizations in our society addressing the ills of our society. There are lots and lots of people outside of the church doing very, very good work in our society. But the thing that makes the church different than every other charitable organization or group is that we have the privilege of speaking not just to a physical realm. We have the authority to speak out in a way that they cannot. We have the authority to speak both to an earthly and a heavenly realm. And that leads me to wonder, with that privilege, that authority, how will we begin to not only address the physical, but the spiritual ills of our society? How will we address the spiritual realm in the very physical things we see in front of us? We have a real privilege to be able to speak the words of the Lord to our society. And I wonder how we will adopt that prophetic voice so that God's word might be heard among us, among our community, and among our nation. I wonder how we will speak up and speak out. Amen.